The Spotlight. Join us on The Spotlight, the program that highlights the inspiring journeys of UN volunteers across South Sudan. Discover their challenges, their achievements, and the impact they are making in the communities across the country. Tune in every Friday at 1 p.m. with a repeat on Sundays at 8 p.m. only on Radio Mirror, the voice of peace.
Hello and welcome to the Spotlight on Radio Miraya, where we bring you the stories of UN volunteers serving with the United Nations mission in South Sudan. I'm Helen Toby, and today we are joined by a woman whose journey has taken her from the military service in El Salvador to peacekeeping operations and now to humanitarian logistics with the United Nations mission in South Sudan. Monica Hernandez is originally from El Salvador and currently serves as a United Nations volunteer with ANMES as a supply chain assistant in the engineering warehouse in Juba. Monica, welcome to the Spotlight.
Thank you so much for hosting me today. I'm very happy and honored to be here.
What inspired you to join the military academy in El Salvador?
It's very hard, you know. My father was an officer of the armed forces as well. So since I got knowledge, I saw him in uniform going to the... I was going to visit the military unit. Mm-hmm. So I would get used to. And then one day he came to me when I was in high school and he told me... If I want to join, and he was explaining me. So at the end, I agree. I went, and actually, it was a very nice experience. I really didn't want to leave the army, but for my professional ambitions, I made the decisions in 2021 to leave. But my inspiration was my dad.
Now coming to supply chain and logistics, many people don't imagine supply or logistics work has a long-term career. What drew you into this field?
Also, you know, my father was a logistic officer during his career in the army. And after that, when I was in the academy and I finished, I was reading about logistics, supply chains, and even I did my master in that. And I like it because, you know, it's a profession and in a specialty that you are always moving. You have many challenges and you need to be aware of everything, operations, coordinations, administration. So it's very demanding and dynamic job. So that's why I like.
Okay. You've worked in logistics, administration and supply chain management across different environments. So at what point did you realize that this would become your long-term profession?
Since I was maybe in my last period in the army, I was posting 8 years in the logistic unit. So to get knowledge about all the areas and get more courses about it, so I realized that that's what I like. And even when I came here as a military observer, some of the time in that period, I was a logistic officer in my UMOCEL. So I get to know how was the thing, some of the things here in the mission and everything. And then that's why I say myself, I like this specialty, this job, and I really want to grow professionally in this area.
Okay. Now coming to South Sudan. You first came to South Sudan as a military observer in 2020 and 2021 based in Juba. What was your first impression of the country?
You know, I'm from very, very, very far from here. So I was never in a communication with just Latin American people. So coming to Africa, I was thinking how it is, how we managed to talk or everything. And when I came here and I saw that people are so welcome mm-hmm. to new people, and then they were very friendly, and it was shocking because I never expect that. And even maybe when I came in a military observer, I didn't get to know much South Sudanese people because I was only military observer, and when I was in patrol, I was talking, yes, with the people in the village. But, you know, it's a different approach like I have now as a UNB. Why? Because my colleagues are national staff. So I get to know more about how is the people in South Sudan. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy. And in that time, as I say, I was choked. But at the end, I really enjoyed the experience. I went so many villages here near to Juba. I was in Jay, Morobo. So I met so many different kind of people. And even to see how they are living, how they are taking care of their harvest and mm-hmm. everything, the child, the houses, all was very impressive because, you know, people that is across the world and in another part of the world, you don't know how is other places. Mm-hmm. And even when I went back home, I say to my friends, you know, people are just focused to go on vacations in Europe, in US, but they don't know that Africa is so, so nice continent. And you can see so many things in so many countries, in so many places. You can think that all the cultures are the same, but actually they have different. A diversity. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was impressed.
Okay. And what moments from the first mission stayed with you the most?
What? Maybe the friends that I made. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I always think that it doesn't matter that you know a lot of people. It's the only one person can make the difference to your life. So all the good memories that I spent with my friends, the small friends that I made here in my first mission, it was very good. So that's I keep in my heart. And also I was very excited when I received the opportunity to come back because I know that I came to a place, I was coming to a place that I already know.
Mm-hmm. So that time you were a military. Then yes. Later you made the decision to return back to South Sudan in 2022. Yes. And this time as a UN volunteer.
Yes.
What made you come back?
You know, it was because I knew the place. Mm-hmm. I knew where I would go back because I knew in myself that I will do more experience and to know more people, to work in more big environment because I will not be only to work with the military. I will work with a lot of people in different areas, you know. So I say it's another good opportunity and it's going to be a new one. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm going to the same country in the same mission, I knew that I will be have another challenges. I will know more people. I will get more experience in my specialty, in my professional growth. So that was the point.
Okay. And what was the feeling like when you reported first? Now this time as a civilian.
It was very nice. I was very excited. I remember imagine. That in that time it was opened this hotel in near to the camp. I don't remember the name, but they posted me there in the 2 nights, and then I was so happy, and I say, how can you imagine that I will come back as a civilian, and I was very excited. I was nervous, mm-hmm. even though I know some people here, but I was thinking how I'm going to do, how I'm going to perform my work. It was very excited.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you describe your current role as a supply chain assistant in the engineering warehouse?
Yes. It's a job that you need to get not so much technical knowledge. Actually, what I'm doing, receiving new items the mission is using across the country in the other team site. And when we receive, we storage them, and then when the requests for another sectors are coming, so we go with the team to pick this item, to pack them, to count them, and then we send them to the states. So basically, we are working, and I'm working in engineering. My team is plumbing. So, you know, before I was not even know anything about plumbing. Now I know every kind of materials that a plumber he needs to use for his job. So I don't know how to make the job, but I know every kind of
material.
I was
going to ask you, could you help me with my kitchen one day?
But you know, actually, I understand many things. And even when I put my request, if I have any plumbing issue in my accommodation, I know how to put technically, you know, this is happening in my accommodation. I need to fix this. So it's very nice. So I like it because I interact a lot with our national staff, because most my team, there are 10 ICs. Mm-hmm. Then my team leader is a national staff, and then two more international staff. So most of the time I'm with the ICs. So I get to know them a lot. We talk, I ask them how they are. Mm-hmm. So I learn a lot from them, how to pack the things, how to carry, how everything. So it's a very nice experience. That's okay. What I do in the warehouse.
Now, many people may not realize the importance of logistics to the mission operations. What are some of the behind-the-scenes responsibility you handle every day?
You know, first of all, is to, for example, plumbing is a very delicate area in the way that we are managing the pumps for the water treatment plants. You know, we need it in all the camps all over the country. So in the moment that one state is requesting this urgently, you need to hurry up to go and get those items to be cheap to there. So some of the challenges only is maybe to expedite the shipping, you know, to coordinate with MoveCon to send them to the states. And here in Yuba, only is easier, because if, for example, in Tompin, in the camp, they have some urgent request for pumps or any kind of chemicals that they need for treat the waters, we are going very fast to pick them and issue it. So those are the things, a little bit challenges in the warehouse.
Okay. Now let's have some music break. Tell us about your first song and why did you choose it?
My first is you know, that was a song that I heard when I was a teenager. And I like the rhythm and what is it saying about. I connected with the sometimes some people or some stuff can be your kryptonite in the way that they can give you life, to feel it alive, but also to put it in a sad mood or in dangerous. So it's 50-50. So that's why I like that song.
Okay, let's listen to Kryptonite by Three Doors Down.
Something to do with you. I really don't mind what happens now and then, as long as you'll be my friend at the end. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman, my kryptonite.
I will keep. You took for granted all the times I never let you down. You stumbled in and bumped your head. If not for me, then you'd be dead. I picked you up and put you back on solid ground. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman might, kryptonite.
Welcome back to the Spotlight program. My name is Helen Toby and I'm with Monica, who is working in the logistics department with ANMES. Now, Monica, working in the logistics for a mission like ANMES comes with challenges and pressures. Was there ever a moment when you realized that the work really makes a difference?
Yes, because you see, we need to read very carefully what our customer is requesting, because if you send something that is not the one that they want, you can delay any kind of project that they are doing in the area. So you need to be focused precisely and commitment for what are you doing, because everybody can say, it's just to go and pick the item and chip. No, you need to read. And sometimes maybe they make some mistake, but you need to have a logical thought and say, no, maybe they misplaced this and it's not what they need. So most of the coordinations, we can make it by phone and ask them, you know, this is this. And they say, sorry, I make a mistake. Okay, don't worry, we are going to amend. So I think that it's not a likely job, actually, because there are items that they need to be used for projects, most of them. So, and also for the welfare of the people in those camps, because not only for project, it's to get maintenance to the buildings, to the washrooms, to the accommodations, to the offices. So it's everything for the welfare of everybody working for ANMES in the sectors.
Okay. Now, Monica, you've worked in both military and civilian UN environments. What are the biggest differences between the two experiences?
Oh, there are a lot, because, you know, with military, you have a specific aim. Is to, as a military observer, of course, that I did, is to go to the place to talk with the people and see what's happened there. And the most important thing is how you are going to write your report for the other substantive areas, make their own job in that area. Because you are just a person to go to recollect the information and pass through the people that actually they are doing their the main job, those substantive areas. So that is the case in, it has a military, you know, going in patrol, be careful, see you are, see around, any threat, any these kind of things. But a civilian is another, because is you are in the office, of course, with paperwork and everything. You don't interact with the people outside. But for me, I like to interact with my colleagues. Mm-hmm. In my national colleagues. So every time they are, I'm asking how is outside, how is everything around their areas, and things that I know that I can ask because of my previous experience. Mm-hmm. How is the environment? How is the security situation? Things like that. So this is the most different, is the direct contact with the people. You know, that is the one of the differences.
And would you have loved to be moving out more frequently?
Yes, actually, yes. You know, I was military and I always be, but in my heart. But sometimes you cannot be like, oh, no, I'm very brave. We go outside and whatever it makes, we'll go. No, so I'm more carefully now. And actually, I'm not going so often outside, but I wish I
could. You could, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what has been your most memorable moments working with ANMES so far?
Different memory. My team, for example, we achieve, every year you need to achieve some percentage to inventory count or less discrepancies that you have at that work. So for me, the most memorable is when we achieve this as a team, because you know that you cannot do it alone. Of course, I know that I cannot do alone, because most of the job my colleagues are doing. So I going to keep that in my mind all the time, because I know that they are the ones that they are doing the hard work. Mm-hmm. So I always try to be grateful with them and say, you are the best, you are a very good team.
And what were the most challenging moments?
The weather.
I know.
You know, my country is not so cold. We don't have winter time. We are like here.
Just similar to us. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. But only the degrees are a bit less. But sometimes the heat here can be very challenging, you know. And I always say this, in 2023, I performed alone to receive a big purchase order. So most of the time I was outside in the container area. So I was in that moment, because it was so hot. I think it was during February, March. Mm-hmm. So I was with shirt. And after some time, I realized that my skin was more brown. And I was like, I didn't even notice until I was in my accommodation. I said, no, even if it's hot, I need to wear long sleeves. So sometimes of those days, I was feeling like a big headache. And I was thinking, oh, my God, how I'm going to survive. But at the end, my body get used to, you know. Now, I feel it, but not like it before. Okay. So that was the only, and a little bit the food. Because, you know, I always try to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. So to get all the kind of vegetables sometimes is challenging. But I managed to do my whole diet in accordance for what I have in the moment. So in that time, I think it was a little bit challenge.
And have you tested South Sudanese food?
No, yes, only because my colleagues, sometimes they are having breakfast, they have cassava or sweet potato with this peanut paste. Mm-hmm. I love. I'm telling you, I love a lot. So I always ask them if they can, they give me a little bit, because I love that. But moreover, another, no, I didn't taste it.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, career has taken you far from home for a long period of time. Has your family supported your journey?
Yes. My mother, you know, my father, unfortunately, he passed away in 2017. I was not even graduated from the academy. Mm-hmm. Then I was, we were alone only with my mother, but she has a very strong character. So she was managed to keep us safe and everything. And when I told her, Mom, I'm going to Africa for, as a military service, she said, oh, really? How many time? And I say 1 year. But in that year, I didn't went home because, you know, it's very far and it's very expensive. So that year, I was not visiting home. So she was always calling me, how are you? We miss you, mm-hmm. and everything, and do video calls. Then when I came back, she was get used to, because, you know, as a military, you are always in the unit. So you are not spending too much time at home. But then when I told her, Mom, I cannot be anymore in the army, I will quit and I will go back to South Sudan. And she said, why you are going so far? And I say, what to do? I want to get more experience, know more people. And she said, okay, I will support you, but we need to be in contact. And I always call her after work time. I always call her because, you know, we are 8 hours ahead. Mm-hmm. So when I almost finish my day, she's just started.
Starting her.
Yeah. So I always try to call in that time. So we are always connected. So she's very supportive, actually. So,
was there a moment that you ever been away from your family for a long time in a particular difficult situation like this?
No, actually, maybe only when it was the COVID time. I was like 8 months in the military unit without going home. Mm-hmm. I think that was the longest. But then when I came here, it was 1 year. So I think that's the only two times that I was away from home so long. But now this time that I was here, I was trying to go home once per year. So, but in that time, that once per year, I always stay like for a month. So she was not so sad when I was going again back to here. So, yeah.
And how did you cope with it? The issue, maybe sometimes you're lonely, you miss your family. How do you cope with it?
Yes, you know, sometimes I in my accommodation during the before going to bed, you know, it's a quiet time and you think what you did in the day that I miss at home. But most of the time I miss home when I call her and I see that she's good at home because we have 3 cats. So she's always dealing with them and I love my cats. So sometimes that is makes me feel like, I want to go home. But then I say, I need to be strong because with this opportunity, I help my family, you know, with so many things. So I say myself that I need to be strong for them. Mm-hmm. And I know that maybe will not be forever. So I say, for now, we need to be strong and go through the day by day.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's have another music break. Tell us about your second song and why you chose it.
You know, I'm coffee lover. Mm-hmm. So this song is in Spanish. It's from a singer that he's from Dominican Republic. So this song is say please that there is need to be I want be raining coffee, you know. So that's why I love this song, because it's about coffee, how people feel when they take the first sip of coffee during the morning. So I cannot live without the coffee.
Okay.
That's why I like it.
What is the title of this song?
Que llueva café en el campo. It means like, please rain coffee in the camp.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo, que caiga un aguacero de yuca y té, del cielo una harina de blanco y al sur una montaña de berro y miel. Oh, 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 oh. café. Cerro de trigo y mapué, baja por la colina de arroz graneado y continúa el arado con tu querer. Oh, 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 oh. Ojalá el otoño en vez de hojas secas vista mi cosecha epitizale, sembra una llanura de batata y fresas. Ojalá que llueva café, pa' que en el conuco no se sufra tanto, ay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
pa' que en Villa Vázquez oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, ay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva.
Ojalá que llueva café. Ojalá que llueva café en el campo, sembrar un alto cerro de trigo y mapué, baja por la colina de arroz craneado y continúa el arado con tu querer. Oh, 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 oh. Ojalá el otoño en vez de hojas secas vista mi cosecha epitizale, sembra una llanura de batata y fresas. Ojalá que llueva café, pa' que en el conuco no se sufra tanto.
Oh. Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
pa' que los montones oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, ay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
ojalá que llueva café. Pa' que todos los niños canten en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Pa' que la romana oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ay, ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, ay, hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café.
Welcome back to the Spotlight. Today we are hosting Monica from the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Monica, you have served both in the military and in the UN environment in South Sudan. What has this journey taught you about resilience?
Oh, many, many, many. Because everybody that works in this kind of environment, even here or any country, even if it's a peaceful country, more peaceful, because actually I know that in some part of South Sudan, you are peaceful. But you also know that not all the countries are peaceful. So there are periods that maybe be more than others. So I think that everybody that is working in this kind of environment, they need to be hard of mind, mm-hmm. you know. Because you are very far from home, you face challenges of health. Thanks God I never had malaria because I was very precautious all the time. But you need to be hard of your mind to know which is your boundaries for do the things, how far you can go. And also you need to have people around you that help you when you must need it, because you know you cannot be isolated in this kind of environment. Mm-hmm. So at least one or two persons that can be with you with the some help emotionally or mentally is needed. So I think I was like that before, because in the military you also need to be hard of mind. Mm-hmm. So for me it was not so difficult to adjust in this kind of a job environment. So I think that can be the resilience that I have.
Okay. And what continues to motivate you to serve in these challenging environments?
You know, I know that I'm not working directly to help people in South Sudan, but my work is help to the main people to do their proper job, you know, because, for example, these people that work in the fields, if we don't give them the good environment, accommodations, offices, places to go for eat, if they are not good, they will not feel good and they will not perform properly in the field. So for me, it motivates me to do properly my job, because if I do properly my job, I will help directly to these people that actually are going to the field and try to help people from South Sudan in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you had not taken this path in logistics and UN service, what do you think you would have been doing today?
Ooh, you know, sometimes human being is so funny, because sometimes you regret what you did before, and sometimes you say, no, but actually it's good what I did. If I was not be going to the army, maybe I will be psychiatrist.
Oh, tell me about that.
You know, I like to read a lot to get know what inside of our minds. Mm-hmm. And I believe a lot that talking to people is help you to understand every person, because as they say, every person is a word.
Mm-hmm.
So I know for sure that words can be so powerful in a person. I know for sure that I will have something in my heart that I can say for that person to feel better. So I think I'm very interested to know what is happening in our minds. So that's why I think if I would not be military or logistics, I would be psychiatrist.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, looking back on your journey so far from El Salvador to South Sudan, do you feel life has been meaningful?
Yes. Yes, yes. I feel that since I came the first time here, I grow as a person. I became more sometimes hard in mind about the challenges, because, you know, when I was in the army, life can be unfair. And I learned that you cannot take everything very personal. So you need to be positive and get self-critics for what that you're doing. So I learned since that, and now here, you know, sometimes we take for granted what we have back at home. And when you see how people are suffering all over the world, you become more to realize that you need to be careful, grateful every day for what you achieve, for what you've been done, and what you have. So yes, my experience here, it was very meaningful, actually. And all the time, sometimes when my mother is complaining about things, I say, please don't complain, because in compared with the people in all the countries, we are very good. We are very good. So we think that we are not, but actually we are lucky.
All right. Now let's go for another music break. Tell us about your final track.
You know, this guy, I think I don't know even for which country it is, but he has this kind of music, like it's more rhythm, like African, no African music, but some of the movements. And I really like how Africans are dancing. I wish I can dance like that. And this song, it has the rhythm. I love the rhythm. And I love this kind of music, and I wish I can have the skills to dance like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I was going and see here African people dancing, it's like I feel like I want to dance like that, and I say, let me try, but I'm so shy, so I don't do it. But I love that song because of that.
Okay, so your song is "Got to Love You" by Sean Paul.
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to "Got to Love You" by Sean Paul.
Got to love ya, got to love ya, yeah. Got to love ya, 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 baby girl. Got to love ya, got to love ya, got to love ya, got to love ya. King a clown, only thinking about themself alone. Listen me key now, baby, telling me how my sound. Run away them little boy, they will lose a brown. Me alone, I make you start to moan and groan. Come here and your love strong like a stone, girl, cause the remedy to set you free. Some boy just want to hide you. That's why me, you are letting. Girl, I'm not betting. Ready to make you sweating. Ties them I'm checking. Legs them I'm setting. Built for hard stepping. Make you lose, I'm betting.
You're listening to The Spotlight on Radio Miraya, and today with me in the studio is Monica. Now, Monica, every guest on The Spotlight gets to recommend a book. What do you choose today?
Okay. My favorite book is the call is The ABC of Happiness. Why ABC? ABC is because it's the philosophy of Aristoteles. B because of Buddha, and C because of Confucius. You know, this book is talk about how life needs to be in the middle of everything. I mean, you cannot be so extreme in every decision, or not everything is black or white. No, there is always a middle. So you need to be deal with life and with all the situations in a balanced way. So this book I like because they talk about how family is the center of everything, actually, and it is. how family is so important, how you need to get a good decision, taking in consideration everything around you, not always the first thing that you saw, that is the decision that you are going to take, or that is going you're going to do. So no, you need to get a balance of everything.
Okay, so what advice would you give someone who wants to become a United Nations volunteer?
Okay, you know, I give this to some of my friends back at home. I say, you know, even I say to my brother. My brother is a study in the university now. And I told him, it's good if you can get some experience as a UMB, because you can see the point of view of a different perspective. You can help people in that. And it doesn't need that you need to get and help directly. No, with your kind of work, you can help so many people indirectly.
Well, Monica Hernandez, thank you for sharing your inspiring journey with us today.
Thank you so much for hosting me.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us on another episode of The Spotlight on Radio Miraya. Until next time, my name is Helen Toby. Thank you for listening.
The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music.